Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, Courtney Tripp with 3B Reviews here. We are actually going to be doing a special tonight just on the Netflix originals. I have not been able to promote it as heavily as I would like to because I've been working all week long and haven't been able to put everything into 3B Reviews this week, and I'm really sorry about that. But and we're starting a little bit later than I would have liked as well. So let's go ahead and get started. If you want to call in and weigh in at any point about any of the three shows that I'm fixing to talk about, because I would love to have opinions, the call-in number is 646-929-1538. Again, that number is 646-929-1538. Just briefly, just because I promised that I always would, Days of Our Lives, I've not really been watching it as much. There's a lot of new characters, a lot of characters leaving, not a lot of characters coming. There's one, but I don't know anything about him. But as far as I know, I've not really been keeping up with anything. I can't lie to you. I don't know what's going on Days right now. All I know is that Kristen is returning, and she's got Teresa and Brady's baby, and I'm just so stoked, and I'm actually going to have to tune in, even though I completely hate Days now. But no offense to any of the actors on Days. I mean, I just really don't like the storylines, but it's more personal with the writers and the producers than it is the actual show itself. So, anyway, let's go ahead and move forward. With Netflix. I have been really big on the whole the Netflix thing for a while, and I was never really big on the Netflix originals. I never ever took the time to even look into what kind of shows that they had, and until the very first series that I watched was Orange is the New Black. And Orange is the New Black is just phenomenal. It's just a phenomenal show. And for those of you that don't know what Orange is the New Black is, I always say you're living under a rock. You're really not, because if you don't have Netflix, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. It's about this woman who gets involved with another woman who is actually a part of the drug cartel. And she ends up getting mixed up in all of her business and ends up in prison. Her little girlfriend ratted her out. And so this entire show is her journey along with other prisoners' journeys, and you get to build these relationships with these characters and find out what brought them to prison in the first place. And it really does open your eyes to how quickly life can change. And the main character, Piper, was involved with Alex. And Alex, a lot of you know, Laura is from the actress that plays her is from That 70s Show. She played Donna. And so, you know, we have a lot of shows out there that have the gay and lesbian relationships. I have to say that this is the one relationship that I'm like 1,000% behind. And I don't mean that I'm not behind any of the other gay relationships on any of their shows, but like I literally feel for this pairing. And even though there's so much drama between Alex and Piper, I just want it to work out. And so you really become invested in their love for each other, and you find yourself just wishing that things could get better. But Piper's really hard-headed, and Alex is just Alex. And so throughout the entire first season, you see her struggling with finding her relationships. She sees Alex, and, of course, they run into each other and end up having a little thing in prison. You get acquainted with other prisoners. Red is my favorite. Red and Crazy Eyes and Nikki and everybody. And there's and they all come from different walks of life. And of course, you get to see a lot of the inside scoop on how a lot of prison guards act. And they really do. It's a sad thing, but a lot of the prison guards, especially in female units, I believe, and I've heard, unfortunately, you know, those few and far between people that you come across in life that have said, yeah, prison guards sometimes, if they're male, like to make sexual advances at prisoners, and they do it in trade for certain things. And it's really sad that that sort of a thing exists, but it does. It's just the culture we live in, and unfortunately, I don't think it's ever going to change. But you get to see a lot of that. And then season two moves on, and you start to see this relationship with Alex and Piper completely deteriorate. and she moves on to another prison, and all these other things happen, and Alex ends up getting out of prison. And a lot of characters, actually, you see their storylines end, especially one, I can't remember her name, she had cancer, and she was just, she loved being a criminal. And, you know, season two ended that way, with her running off in the sunset, running from the police, and it just, she knew she was going to die, she was terminally ill, and she was running away from the police, and it was just, you almost want to go, hell yeah, good for you, you know? And you don't want to go, oh yeah, you know, stick it to the police, you don't want to say that, but, well, some of us do. But, you know, it was just one of those things that you found yourself really, really investing in all of these different characters. And Orange is the New Black is obviously a controversial show because of the fact that it's for the most part, all-female cast. There is also a cast member who's transgendered, and obviously the LGBT community has really taken action with that and think that that's fantastic. And then there's Big Boo. Of course, she's just hilarious, and I've loved her in everything I've ever seen her in. She's obviously an LGBT activist. So a lot of the things that surround Orange is the New Black is a lot of female rights and all that kind of stuff. And I'm the first to say that I've always been a bit of a feminist, and I do have my reasons for that. And not to say that I don't, you know, appreciate a hardworking man, I do, but I like the fact that I'm able to take care of myself as well. But Orange is the New Black really does send a lot of different types of messages, and there are certain communities that obviously are like, well, I don't really want to watch that, because there are things about Orange is the New Black that's really risque and it's controversial, and there's, you know, the lesbian relationships, and there's all this, and, you know, that's just the culture we live in. People have their opinions, and that's fine, and, you know, it's just about being respectful. And Orange is the New Black completely took off because of the fact that it did shine a new light on the empowerment of women and their ability to bring a story to the forefront, especially in, you know, in television or movies, especially the fact that it was a Netflix original that just completely blew up the way it did and won award after award after award, and it's just absolutely phenomenal. I'm so proud of all the women that are a part of it. And season three, of course, is coming up, and Alex is reintroduced back into Piper's life. She ends up back in prison, and so we see a lot of different turmoil. There's new characters, there's new people, and it's going to be a really great time. And I'm just enjoying seeing the fan reaction where Orange is the New Black is concerned, because it's just such a popular phenomenon, and the fact that it all started with Netflix. And, you know, people say, oh, well, I can't, you know, some people say, I don't have internet or this or that. You know, in the culture that we live in today's age, everybody mostly has a smartphone. Almost everybody has, you know, a flat screen, smart TV, whatever, or, you know, Wi-Fi and all this other stuff. And so, obviously, I underestimated Netflix's ability to bring any shows that would just completely blow up and win awards. And they have just absolutely just brought it. And that brings me to the next show, is House of Cards. And Kevin Spacey has my heart anyway. But, you know, I had watched several different shows. I watched all the American Horror Stories on Netflix. Obviously, that's not a Netflix original. But I had watched all of that. And I had gone to my group of friends, and I said, hey, because the majority of my best friends watch Netflix just as religiously as I do. And I said, I need somebody to tell me what to watch, because I'm just not sure. And my friend said, you need to watch House of Cards. And I went, no, I don't. All I saw was politics written all over it, and I didn't want anything to do with politics. And because I'm just not, it's not that I'm not aware. It's not that I don't have views. It's not that I don't have opinions. It's just something that I have family members that are so, so politically driven that it just wears me out. And so I don't want anything to do with a show like that. And so, you know, I said, oh, I just don't really want to do that. I just don't think I'm going to like it. Well, I sat down, forced myself, said, you know what, you've got to open your mind up and watch it. Well, you know, I watched the first show, the first episode, and I thought, oh, that was actually pretty good. It's got Robin Wright in it. She's phenomenal anyway. And so I got really excited. Well, then started watching it, and I was like, well, I just don't know if I'm going to continue. I just don't know if I'm going to like it. Kept watching. And you are educated in a way that I don't see a lot of shows that educate you the way of House of Cards does. It just does. I'm not saying that shows, you know, like Madam Secretary, that's a great show too. And, you know, The Good Wife and things where politics and the law, all of those things on TV, I'm just used to it, I guess. Madam Secretary is one that I don't watch a lot, but when I do, because I love Tia Leone, she's awesome, but I'm like, eh. I can't invest myself. I used to watch Good Wife all the time. But whenever I sat down and watched House of Cards, I was like, wow, is the administration really like that? And I think certainly, yeah, there's been administrations that have been just as corrupt as it's portrayed in House of Cards. And Kevin Spacey plays Frank Underwood, and Robin Wright plays his wife, Claire. And he is actually, he's in the Congress, and he wanted to be... Secretary of State. And obviously he had lost that, and they said, no, we're not going to nominate you and all this other stuff. And I don't want to ruin it too much, but basically he manipulates, lies, cheats, and steals and kills all the way to the White House. And the whole time you just see him burning bridge after bridge after bridge, and you learn all these things about him and his sexual misconduct and his marriage and all the types that he led gay relationships outside of his marriage, I think before his marriage. His wife cheated on him, and it was something that they just had a mutual understanding about, and it was just bizarre. And that was one thing I didn't like. I'm like, I'm just so anti-cheating anyway, but when it comes to their relationship, it was almost suitable. It was almost like you couldn't see them any other way but deceptive towards each other, but they did it to each other's faces, if that makes any sense. But this whole time, he's manipulating his way up to the White House. And Claire, of course, is doing her own thing and is backing him as much as possible. And throughout the entire thing, eventually, it becomes apparent that in season two, he becomes president of the United States after he's pretty much set up the president and, like I said, literally manipulated his way all the way into the Oval Office. And I think that, you know, for me, I'm not big on the politics thing, but at the same time, I think it's an eye-opener. It's something that you go, well, did Obama do that? Did he manipulate his way? You know, because he's got a weird history. Or did, you know, Clinton? Did Bush? Did any, you know? I don't think Bush is smart enough. But, you know, you think, is there really ever an honest politician? And you think, this show, it just almost just makes you, just almost drives you mad because you go, I can't trust my government after I watch this. Because they're sitting around and shutting everybody up throughout this entire show. It's just about shutting you up. And obviously, you know, they had their problems. But Frank and Claire's relationship, I said on Facebook one time, if I was ever going to have a toxic, dysfunctional relationship that I was happy in, I'd want one like Frank and Claire's. They can always come to a common ground and understanding in their relationship, even though it was completely toxic and dysfunctional. They were able to understand each other until season three ended. And I'm going to ruin it. Just don't care. Plug your ears. Claire leaves Frank. And after everything that he had said to her the night before, you know, about basically saying, you're nothing without me. And we've always known that Frank, we always knew that Frank felt that way. But it was just hard to hear. It's one of those things you're like, I know you feel that way, but as long as you don't say it, I'm able to tolerate you. That's pretty much what happened. And then finally he just blew up in her face, and she left. And then it was announced that season four was going to be coming in 2016. I don't have any details about season four. Obviously, it's going to be surrounded by their marriage problems, I would assume. And something that my brother said, and I'm wondering if any of you feel the same way, but I think that Frank might be assassinated in season four. And he's so right when he said that. He said, he had said that, and I don't know if it was his actual beliefs or if he had heard that, but a lot of people, other than my brother, after that, told me, Frank's probably going to be assassinated. He deserves it, honestly. Somebody that has done the horrible things that he has, there's no way. Karma is going to be a total bitch to him, and it's going to come and get him and bite him right in the ass. I know it will. So season four, more than likely, in my opinion, is going to be the last season, and he'll be assassinated, and it'll just suck. It'll just be one of those JFK kind of situations where his head's blown off, you know? So, House of Cards is a humongous phenomenon, and people have just flipped over it, and that's the cool thing for me, is that the fact that so many young people invested in House of Cards, and even though it's not directly linked to real time or things that actually go on, but it does. Some of the things that have gone on in the storylines do happen. It's just a reflection. But it opens up your mindset, and it almost allows you to go, I want to be interested more in my government and who's in office. It teaches you a lot of things. And I think that that's the whole point about certain dramas that have real-life situations. Politics, like Orange is the New Black, teaches you about just life in general as a woman. It just does. And then, you know, House of Cards teaches us about politics. And I think that's why Netflix is so successful, because they take real-life situations in their originals and they apply it to a lot of the things that happen now. And so House of Cards completely and totally surprised me. I did not expect in any way, shape, or form. I just didn't expect. So moving on to The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So this is a complete turnaround, and I don't learn anything from The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. All I learn is that it's absolutely hilarious. This show is based around a group of women called Mole Women, and they were led underground to think that the apocalypse was coming, and they spent 15 years underground. Well, then they come out, and, you know, they go about their regular lives. Well, then, of course, it just follows Kimmy. And Kimmy meets all these different types of characters, and Jane Krakowski's in it, and I love her anyway, and I'm just going to be kind of stupid. I didn't fall in love with her on 30 Rock, because I didn't ever watch 30 Rock. I fell in love with her when she played Betty Rubble in The Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. When she played Betty, it just completely just did it for me. I've loved her ever since. So, she goes into the city and she meets these people and she has all these relationships. There's this gay black guy, and I can't think of his name because I have not really paid as much attention to it as I should, but I love it so much, and I just need to invest more time in it. And then, of course, Jane Krakowski's character, and then all these different people, and they're so whacked out and just ridiculous, and it's just the best. And so that show really took – I didn't think it would, because it was just – it wasn't a tired subject, because I've never really heard of a show like that. But it was one of those shows you're like, oh, it's fluff. It's not going to be popular. Oh, my God, it is so popular. It is so funny. I'm not one of those people that can watch slapstick. I love slapstick. I love people like Will Ferrell and things like that. But when you watch something with just ridiculously stupid humor, like I can't get into Family Guy, no offense, can't get into that kind of stuff, American Dad, Bob's Burgers, I was watching with my sister yesterday, and it was actually pretty funny. And I'm not into that kind of stuff. But some of it was actually really funny. But it comes to a generational curse. Because if you took a show like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and you took it back, let's go back to the 60s. And I know, oh, my God, I can hear baby boomers going, back to the 60s? You act like that's a long time ago. Well, it's not exactly a short distance. You know, I was born in 1990, so, I mean, 25 years ago is not exactly a short distance, so please get off me. But when you go back to a time period like that, you go, nobody would laugh at this. Everybody would be offended. You know, it's just amazing how times have changed. And that's what I really, really like about things like shows like Hulu and Netflix, all that kind of stuff. It's just so important because what's so important about entertainment, and this is something that I preach to people all the time, whenever people find out that I was a soap reviewer, they go, really? Listen to me, rudeness. That was a culture that was, you know, that's been popular since the mid-60s. And when soap operas came out, especially with moms that were staying at home with their kids and things like that, especially today, there are people that are bound to their houses for different reasons, single moms, you know, or whatever, not single moms necessarily, but mothers that stay home with their children, something to look forward to. People that have disabilities that aren't able to get out, they look forward to that 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock slot to watch Young and the Restless or Bold and Beautiful or Days of Our Lives. They look forward to that because they have those relationships. Even though those characters are fictional, they're important. And when you take a show, like I said, when you go back and you look at every show that you watch besides reality TV, please bite me, reality TV does not in any way, shape, or form change your life. It just doesn't. But when you take, let me rephrase that. Okay, there are some reality shows, but here's the thing. Let me just, see, I'm arguing with myself. If you go and you watch shows like Real Housewives of Atlanta, Mob Wives, all those sorts of things, Chrisley Knows Best, which is the best. But when you watch all that kind of stuff, yeah, it's entertaining, but what are you learning from it? When the whole point of this show was just to talk about how everything has revolved, and those three shows are the ones that have been something that I've enjoyed and something that I've learned something from, even though Kimmy Schmidt didn't teach me anything. It's something that I kept me entertained, and you, as an entertainment reviewer, you have to see things from a different perspective. You can't think, oh, well, it's just a TV show, it doesn't matter, it's off, whatever. There are people that sit at their dinner tables at night and they have conversations about it. This is the generation that we're living in. When you watch shows, let's just go back, Good Wife, Madam Secretary, SVU, all those sorts of things, Criminal Minds, my parents really like Person of Interest, shows where real-life situations are turned into fiction, but they're meant to entertain you. By no means are they meant to just completely and totally freak you out all the time, but shows that are suspenseful and that have politics and the law and all those sorts of things, even if it's something like a soap opera, it's meant to do something for you because music, can you imagine a world without music? No, you can't. But when you think about movies and TV shows, and you think that we're living in a world where it's all based around smartphones and the internet and all those sorts of things. See, even though I'm only 25, I remember a time where we didn't have that stuff. We had dial-up internet. We didn't have cell phones. And the cell phones that were out had a little bitty green screen on it. And all you do was call in and call out, and you could play Snake, okay? That was like the furthest, and that was later in my life. I remember a time where literally I had a cord and a phone on the wall, and if the phone freaking rang, I couldn't ignore it because it could be my mom or my dad, so I had to figure out who it was, and it might be somebody I really don't want to talk to, but that was the culture we lived in. Things were a lot more delicate, but there was more respect, and so when you look at today's age with the smartphones and the internet and Netflix is a positive thing to me. It's a cultural divide because there's a lot on there that I don't want my kids to see, but they give you the capability to, you know, to block all that out. And so my nephews can go on and just watch cartoons and things like that. But then there's documentaries. Oh, my God, I'm a documentary junkie. I can sit there and watch Netflix all freaking day. I love documentaries. And then, of course, I've gotten hooked on the originals. But when you watch these shows and you invest your time in getting on the internet, getting on your phone, whatever, they knew what they were doing. They knew what the moneymaker was because they knew, okay, today's age is centered around internet, smartphones, period. Now, what can we do to bring it to the forefront? What can we do to bring profit? Boom, there's Netflix. Bam. And I know people really like Hulu. I don't personally like Hulu, whatever, but I've never really spent a lot of time on Hulu. I did back when it was more free, but I've had less of a capability to really find anything on Hulu that I liked, but maybe I'm just not looking in the right places. But when it comes to things like Netflix, they have a wide variety. They speak to all different types, all different generations. You can go on there and watch anything that you want for the most part. Now, I looked for Wizard of Oz today and it wasn't on there. I was so mad. I just wanted to watch Wizard of Oz. I don't know why, but it wasn't there. But there's movies on there that my grandmother would enjoy, and I've been able to say, hey, you want to watch a movie? Oh, look, here's this one. And she'd go, holy crap, I've never seen that. I've always wanted to see it. Let's watch it. And then we would. My point is that when you have something like Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, whatever, there's always an agenda, okay? And the agenda is that, number one, they want to make money. Number two, they want to entertain you. They genuinely do. I do believe that. And number three, they want to supply you with things that you're going to enjoy and you're going to learn from. I genuinely believe that. And those shows that I've talked about, I've learned a lot. I pay more attention to politics because of House of Cards. I pay more attention to women's rights and all kinds of things because of Orange is the New Black. All of those things are important. So, you know, that's just my opinion, and I can't really say much else about it. So go watch House of Cards, go watch Orange is the New Black, and go watch the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Because, see, I just feel like I just gave you a completely unnecessary speech. I'm worn out. So anyway, it's been great, and all the support that you guys have given me since, you know, I started just doing entertainment reviews. I was really scared that, you know, you guys were going to be like, oh, she doesn't talk about soaps. I don't want to listen to her show anymore. But you guys have been really, really supportive and really sweet, and you still come and you listen every week, and it's just great, and I just love you guys so much. So follow me on Twitter. Name has not changed yet. It's 3B Soap Reviews. Like 3B Soap Reviews on Facebook. Go like Courtney Tripp TV on YouTube. We're going to start doing more, and I promise 501 Talk is going to happen. We haven't been able to come together yet. So anyway, like I said, if you don't have Netflix, go freaking get it. It's eight bucks a month. And go invest in House of Cards, Orange is the New Black, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, all of it. Go invest in it, and I'll see you next Sunday. Bye.